Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the third Sunday in Advent, and thus we light the third candle on our wreath, the pink one, the one known also as the joy candle or the shepherd's candle. This third week of Advent celebrates the joy that we experience because of the birth of Christ. The same joy that the shepherds experienced on the night of Christ's birth. The angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And when the angels left the shepherds went to Bethlehem to see this thing that had happened, to see this Christ child. And upon seeing him, they then returned to their flocks, it says, glorifying and praising God, what we might call rejoicing for the things that they had heard and the things that they had seen. And thus, as we reflect upon the angel's message and the shepherd's reactions to that message in preparation for our celebration of the miracle of Christmas, we do so filled with that same joy, that joy of which the angel spoke, based upon the news that a Savior has been born for us. And his name is Jesus. As most of you know, I am a bit of a wordsmith. I labor over the words that I write, especially when I'm writing a sermon or when I'm writing a hymn, trying to make sure that the exact chosen word conveys the exact thoughts that I mean to express. I'm sure some folks think I probably go a bit overboard with this endeavor, that many of the words are just synonymous. You know, six of one, half dozen of the other. Words are all just interchangeable. I've heard folks say to me, "It's just a matter of semantics," as if the particular word used so often doesn't really matter because both words have equal value. But that's not always true. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, semantics is the study of meanings in language. And so when folks use words interchangeably as synonyms, which actually have different nuances of meaning, the issue is not one of semantics. It's actually an issue of semiotics. I don't know that word. That's the discipline of applying meaning to signs and symbols and words. And so if you were reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, that's part of the Beatitudes, from the Living Bible, which states it like this, "Happy are those who are persecuted because they are good, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs," I would challenge you on why you're using that translation of the Bible. Because the Greek word makarios is best translated as blessed, not happy. And you may say, "Well, it's all semantics." Actually, unknowingly meaning it's all semiotics, assignment of meanings to words. What's funny is that you would ironically be correct. It actually is semantics, because happy and blessed have very different meanings, as do happy and joy. I hear people say, quite often, God wants us to be happy. And I always want to say to these people, and I sometimes do, where in the world did you get that idea? Because that's nowhere in the Bible. And they will then often point me to a passage that says something about being joyful or rejoicing. But joy and happiness are not the same thing. Not in the Greek text, and not in the biblical perspective. People, unfortunately, may use those words interchangeably. God's word does not. Whereas happiness is an emotion brought on by good fortune, you know, pleasant circumstances, positive, warm, or humorous interaction with someone else. Joy is a state of being. It's an attitude. It's a frame of mind and of spirit that results when one is filled from the inside with an inner pleasure and peace and delight. What we talked about last week, that inner shalom. Happiness is conditioned by an outward circumstance. Joy exists in a person in spite of outward circumstances because of one's inner peace and well-being. You see, when Paul wrote, "Be joyful always," or when Peter wrote that we should rejoice when we suffer because we are participating with the sufferings of Christ, neither of those men meant that we should be happy in those circumstances. Trust me, Jesus was not happy when he went into the temple and saw the merchants and the money changers. And he overthrew them because of his anger of them. He wasn't happy when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to God to take away his trip to the cross that was scheduled for the next day. And he sweat drops of blood. He was not happy when he was hanging on the cross, suffering in agony for our sins. But he was joyful because he trusted in his Father. He knew the reward that was waiting for him on the other side of his sorrow and his shame, on the other side of his death and his resurrection. The reward of having his children forgiven. The reward of opening heaven to them, to us, that we might live with him throughout eternity. The writer to the Hebrews states, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." That was the hope and the promise and the message that lay behind the words of the angel to the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." It was not good news of great joy for only those whose lives are good and comfortable and safe. Those who we might say are living in happy circumstances. It was good news that would bring great joy, lasting joy. Joy in the face of sorrow and suffering and loss to everyone who through faith claims it. For you see, the forgiveness of Christ Jesus The forgiveness that Christ Jesus came to bring was purchased for everyone. His gift of life beyond the grave, which he won for us through his resurrection from the grave, was accomplished for everyone. No matter your station in life, no matter your position in society, no matter what happiness or what sorrow you may currently have or have had or may have in the future, his joy is meant for you because his forgiveness and his life and his salvation has been won for you. And that's a truth that no circumstance and no situation can ever take away from you, from me, from any of us. Any of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And thus we can be joyful always, even in suffering. For a Savior has come to this earth for us, and he is Christ the Lord. May we live with that joy always as we reflect upon that good news which is ours always. To God be the glory. Amen.